Ghana, like many developing nations, faces an increasing demand for energy due to population growth, urbanization, and the quest for economic development. However, the country also experiences frequent power outages, which deteriorates energy security, and power generation relies heavily on fossil fuel usage. This combination calls for effective energy management and the adoption of energy-efficient practices, as well as sustainable cooling that frees up more energy for gaining economic sectors, as well as protecting our climate. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Energy, the podcast where we explore the latest in energy trends, sustainability, and the climate story. I'm your host, Michael Kofi Abrokwa, SE Falls Country Coordinator on Energy Efficiency and Cooling. Today, we are delving into a topic that has become increasingly important in our world, or at least in this part of our tropical world, Ghana's cooling journey. As temperatures rise, cities grow. Cooling technologies have become essential to maintaining comfort and preserving food and medicine. But how is Ghana addressing these challenges in a sustainable way? Let's find out. For today's episode, I'm joined by an esteemed guest. I'm joined by Mr. Joseph Bafo, the director of the Ozone Unit at the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency of Ghana. Welcome, Mr. Joseph Bafo.
Thank you.
So, to start us on our journey, could you kindly explain why cooling has become such an important issue in Ghana and Africa overall?
Okay, thank you, Michael. Cooling, like you said, is very important. Cooling has been with us for quite a long time, and it's because there are a lot of benefits that are associated with cooling. What comes on top of my mind is comfort. When we are cool, we do things better. Some people even say you even think better. Apart from that, industry needs cooling for most of their productions. There are certain types of production activities that require cooling as an essential part. Apart from that, for food preservation, we keep our food in our refrigerators to ensure they don't get spoiled. And we also preserve some medicines, essential medicines, with cooling technology. Somebody even said that even when we die, we still need cooling to be able to be buried comfortably. So you see that so far as cooling is concerned, it is an essential part of life. We can't do without it, except that we need to make sure that we do it in a way that doesn't affect or harm the environment.
Thank you for that. It's interesting to see how essential cooling is in our day-to-day activities. What have been some of the challenges in cooling and energy consumption? Because we know that cooling takes a lot of energy. So what have been some of the challenges that you've foreseen in Ghana?
Like you said, cooling technologies take up a lot of energy. And I think you even mentioned that for household consumption, cooling takes about 40%.
Yes.
Basically, the technology drives what is taking out in terms of consumption. And if you look at where your power source is coming from, then that could be a big contributory factor in terms of the environment when you are drawing energy from, let's say, thermal plants that take fossil fuels. We are all battling with climate change. And as long as you take more energy, that will mean that more emissions are going on because you need to burn more to generate that needed power to supply the equipment. And that goes to adversely affect the environment. So that is a big challenge. The other challenge is in terms of the cooling space. We need technicians that are able to work on these equipments with the technological know-how. The reason being that we are looking at chemicals that are powering or making sure that the cooling is provided. Most of these chemicals have environmental consequences. For example, chemicals that destroy the ozone layer and also contributing to climate change. So in effect, once a technician works on a system and directly discharges the refrigerant into the atmosphere, you are sure that these problems are going to continue. And looking at our setup, having to make sure that the technicians are able to get the needed experience to be able to prevent that from happening is something that is a big challenge, because then there are a lot of factors you need to take into consideration, looking at if this is somebody's daily bread. And it becomes, but you don't want to compromise. So you need to make sure that at least you do a lot of training to get everybody on board to make sure that at the end of the day, you're able to prevent or avoid these challenges.
Wow, sounds like a lot of challenges that the cooling sector is facing. But I know you've already mentioned some of these things. In totality, how is that impacting on the environment? Because if we don't have the proper technicians that are able to service ACs, in totality, how is that impacting on the environment?
It's not that we don't have the technicians, but the number of technicians. In fact, we deal with the Refrigeration Association, and there's a number of qualified technicians that are in there. The challenge here is that there's a lot of wayside technicians who just do, they are taken up as apprentices, and sometimes they are not able to complete, but they set up on their own, and then they are just sitting on the wayside waiting for somebody to just request for their service. That is not to say that everybody in the association is very much, they know their work, except that with the technology and how to prevent these emissions from happening, you need to be able to have certain tools and equipment to be able to do that. For example, before any technician works on a system, he needs to recover the refrigerant. That is to prevent, one, if there are any issues, so that the refrigerant is not leaked into the environment. So once you take it out, then you can charge the unit for it to work. And this is something most technicians don't have and will not do. So it's easier to just release the refrigerant into the atmosphere and work on the system and then move on. And that is what I said is causing the environmental challenges that we want to avoid. The thing that you want to be doing is to make sure that you build the capacity of all refrigeration associations. Recently, we procured tools and equipment for them to help them in their job. That is to make sure that they are able to do the right thing with the right equipment. So at the end of the day, there's going to be a time where we are going to make sure that all refrigeration technicians are certified and provided with a certificate before they practice. Currently, the process is still ongoing, and at the end of the day, we'll make sure that technicians are qualified and well-trained to undertake these services.
Wow. So that means government is actually working to make sure that if I'm looking for a technician, I can actually get a certified one to work on my AC. That's very interesting, because it reminds me of the CEWP, so the Certified Electrical Wiring Professional that the Energy Commission has. And that would be very interesting, because it makes sure that our ACs are worked on well and also don't have a lot of emissions going out. I'll move on to what would you classify as innovation in the cooling sector? So innovative cooling solutions that are really happening in Ghana, and what your thoughts on that would also be.
Okay. If you recall, the key thing in terms of technology is to look at technologies that would impact less on the environment. So you want a situation where you have refrigerants, because I said the refrigerants are the ones that are impacting on the environment, that does not cause the ozone layer to deplete or cause global warming. These are refrigerants that you say have low global warming potential or low or zero ozone depleting potential. Currently, the refrigerants that we use have high ODP and GWP. So innovation will mean that a technology with refrigerant that has low global warming potential or zero global warming potential or low ozone depleting potential or zero ozone depleting potential. Fortunately, the Montreal Protocol is phasing out most of these refrigerants that have high ozone depleting potentials. So eventually, technologies are coming that are ensuring that they use refrigerants that don't impact on the environment based on their GWP or ODP. So you see now the technologies that we are looking at are technologies that have hydrocarbon. Hydrocarbons are natural refrigerants. You see, long ago, most of the refrigerants that were being used were refrigerants that impacted less on the environment. But for some reason, these synthetics came in and they caught up for other reasons. For example, ammonia is a refrigerant that is used. It's very safe. But because of the pungent smell, it was very uncomfortable using it. It's also toxic. So eventually, these other ones that came in became the refrigerants that were more likable. But eventually realized that these were the ones that were also causing the ozone layer to deplete. So these new refrigerants that we are talking about, the hydrocarbons, are virtually the natural refrigerants that we are going back to. Ghana, for example, under the nationally determined contribution, is looking at transforming the market, for example, to about 70% hydrocarbon air conditioned units by 2030. This is in tandem with the Montreal Protocol phase down arrangement so far as the HCFCs are concerned. So that is something that we see as innovative to transform. And quite honestly, it's also the low-hanging fruits that we can easily, as long as there's some funding for it, should be able to change from a technology that is more polluting to a technology that is less polluting.
We are both technical people. We both understand when you say refrigerants. I'll go very basic for our listeners. If you can explain, what is a refrigerant?
A refrigerant is a chemical that is used to provide cooling in the refrigerating equipment. So what refrigerants basically do is that they take up heat from inside the room and they release the heat from outside the room. So if you go to any air conditioned equipment, the outdoor unit, you can experience a lot of heat there. It's just how the refrigerant works to absorb and release the heat. So these are basically chemicals that ensure cooling so far as the equipment is concerned.
Nice. So for us, the layman, Mr. Bafo has given us inside information into the cooling world. Mr. Bafo, you've mentioned some policies that are ongoing. And quite frankly, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be confused about Montreal Protocol. So can I ask you to just explain some of these policies and regulations that are promoting sustainable cooling in Ghana?
Okay, the Montreal Protocol is a multilateral arrangement that seeks to reduce or phase down ozone depleting refrigerants out of the system because they are damaging to the ozone layer. Ghana is signatory to the Montreal Protocol. That means that we have the obligation as a developing country to reduce or phase out these refrigerants by 2030. So there are a number of activities that we put in place to make sure that it is done. And one key thing is to have quota arrangements. These quota arrangements ensure that importers import only certain quantities of the refrigerant per particular periods in a year, so that by reducing gradually, we'll have no imports coming in by 2030. So just by that mechanism, we're able to phase out the imports of refrigerants or ozone-depleting refrigerants. We are also governed by the LI 1812, which ensures management of ozone-depleting substances. That also ensures that all importers are licensed by the NOU or the EPA to make sure that we know what you are importing, what quantities you are importing, and at any time what you are eligible to import. So by doing that, we have that oversight to be able to manage or monitor what comes in and what is sold on the market.
Wow. Interesting. That means that the EPA sort of regulates flow of refrigerants in Ghana and what sort of refrigerants should be used and how they are used and by who is used. That's really interesting. I've heard something about the Kigali Amendment. Could you also mention something on that?
The Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol is an arrangement that is looking to phase down, not phase out. Phase out means that completely remove at a certain point. Phase down means that there will still be residual refrigerants in the system at a certain point. And this is because, like we mentioned earlier, cooling is very important. It's become part of our lives. We can't just take it off because it's damaging, but we can make sure that we find alternatives and research ensures that alternatives come in at certain times that replaces the ones that want to get out of the system. So you realize that ozone depleting substances, like I said, will be phased out by 2030. Let me mention this. Developed countries and developing countries have different schedules in terms of phase out. Developed countries have already phased out the ozone depleting substances. It's the developing countries that are phasing out by 2030. Even the other groups of developing countries that even go a bit further. There's this transformation in terms of research. HCFCs were the ones that are destroying the ozone layer. So the alternatives came in that were HFCs, the hydrofluorocarbons. Fortunately, the hydrofluorocarbons don't destroy the ozone layer. But unfortunately, they have high global warming potential. That means that they cause climate change, global warming. So eventually, you realize that, and these are refrigerants that are also used in the sector. So it made sense that if we're already doing something about refrigerants that were destroying the ozone layer, I also want to mention here that these refrigerants that destroy the ozone layer are also global warming potential. They also cause climate change. So, for example, so if you remove a gas that is ozone depleting, we have also been able to tackle the issue of climate there. So these ones that were not destroying the ozone layer now realize that we have to deal with them because climate change is something that is worrying us now. It's something that we want to prevent, avoid, because there are a lot of catastrophes that are happening. So then the amendment to the Montreal Protocol came, that is the Kigali, because it was agreed in Kigali, Rwanda. And that seeks to phase down HFCs in the cooling sector by a certain date. In this date, we are looking at 2040, 2045. So developed countries, developing countries have different timelines in terms of phase out. You see, like I said, you realize that, for example, we have a lot of ozone-depleting substances already in the system. So even with a phase out for the ODS, there's still a residual. In fact, per the Montreal Protocol arrangement, it is 97.5 by 2030. The 2.5 is left as residual. Residual meaning that there are units in the system that will need to be serviced. So we need to have that. So until 2040, everything will just... So you won't import, there's nothing wrong. So everything that will be in there will be within that 2.5 limit too. It's the same arrangement with the HFCs under the Kigali Amendment. So while the Montreal Protocol is dealing with entirely the ozone depleting substances, the Kigali Amendment also came in to deal with the hydrofluorocarbons that are not ozone depleting, but serious global warming potentials.
Interesting international treaties that are governing the cooling space. So with all of this, How is the outlook for the future? What do you think Ghana's cooling journey would look like in the next 10 to 20 years? I'm sure by that time you'd be retired in your farm, but we'll still need cooling. So we need to call on your expertise.
I wish I had a farm, but maybe I think I'll take your advice. I'll start looking at it critically. In the next 10, 20 years, I think that the future is bright. The reason being that fortunately for us, we haven't gone deep in the issues of having to set up systems that pollute. We are still developing. So fortunately, we are in a space where we are able to now start going more green than the other way. I mentioned earlier that per our NDCs, Ghana is looking at transforming the market with technology that has refrigerants with low or zero GWP, and that we are seeing working because we have worked with GIZ on a number of projects that have brought in a number of these equipment. So far, we've installed about 410 units of these equipments that are working. We haven't had any challenges with them. And we are also looking at other projects that will also maximize or ensure that these units also come in. If we're able to do that, it means that we have to make sure that importers are bringing in equipment. By the way, we also have had this arrangement where we have eventually banned all equipment that are ozone depleting, laden with ozone depleting chemicals in the country as at last year. So none of these equipment are going to come in, and that will mean that the importers would have to now make sure that they are encouraged to bring in equipment that are laden with the hydrocarbons. That we are engaging them on a number of platforms to make sure that they understand and appreciate, because we do the quotas with them so they know that by a certain point, the ODS chemicals are not going to come in again. So eventually, that shift has to come in. I know there are a number of HFCs laden equipment that are in the system, but per the Kigali Amendment, they're also going to go out. In fact, Ghana's Kigali implementation plan last year was approved by the multilateral fund. And in fact, this year we are supposed to initiate implementation of that to begin to reduce consumption of HFCs to about 2029, and then we reduce further. I think we reduce 2029 by 10%, and then we reduce further again from there. So, for me, I think with all these activities going on, the future is bright. We just have to make sure that we are focused. We encourage what is best for us, what we think we should be doing in terms of greening the cooling space, and then be able to implement as much as we can. In fact, the LI 1812 is being amended to take on board the HFCs also for implementation. So, and I also want to mention that the LI 1812 also actually do encourage importers to bring in green refrigerants or technologies that can be even supported by government in terms of some incentives to maybe waive tax or something. But that's an arrangement. The LI 1812 encourages the minister to be able to provide such incentive to importers, just to encourage importers to bring in these so that in the end we can be able to go more green than the other side.
And it's a wrap from us, guys. It's been an interesting chat with Mr. Joseph Bafo. It sort of lets us know that cooling is not only about the cold air you feel. It's also the gas that works in the AC. It's also the energy that is being consumed. And these are things that we should think about. When your AC is not blowing cold anymore and you're calling a technician to come and look at your AC, you need to think about how he's fixing your AC. Is it with the right equipment? All of these things are thoughts that should really be going through your head when buying a new AC or fixing your old AC. Thank you. It's been an interesting journey with Mr. Bafo. My name is Michael Kofi Abrokwa, and I'm signing out. Thank you.